Well, this morning, our guest speaker is Al Pino from Palm Vista Community Church in Miami, Florida. Based on many of your responses, there's not much introduction that's needed, but that's not going to stop me. I actually don't want to just give Al's resume. I want to give Al's influence on this church. This church is not the same because of Al Pino in a good way. You know, there are times that God brings people into a church intentionally to help them see something unique about themselves. And I have fond memories of Al's time here on staff at MetroLife Church. From the crazy antics of him riding his bike everywhere, which I believe Felix and Jeremy Price have now taken up. I remember him being in the office, getting in the office and being like, I'll be right with you, Chris, because I'm sweaty and I got to go change. Because he was riding his bike into the office. But more than those types of little cultural changes, I mean a gospel cultural change. A change about how it is that we understand the truth of God's word and how it is that we apply it to our lives. And Al, as just a moment here, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your time here. Thank you for leaving us better than you found us. Thank you for continuing to pursue the mission that we shared together all those years ago. And thank you for all that is to come in the days ahead. And it's an honor to welcome you and say, please speak to us today as your home church as well.
Great blessing to be here. Well, greetings on behalf of the elders and members of Palm Vista Community Church in Miami Gardens. I want to bring greetings to you. David Bush, our lead pastor, is here with his wife, Melinda. My wife and I, Desi, we just want to say that it's a joy for us to come and celebrate with you 40 years of faithful ministry. We exist in Miami Gardens, Florida, because of God's grace, for sure. But a major means of that grace is this church. So, congratulations, Metro, for 40 years. God has been faithful. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Our Faithful God. Our Faithful God. And our text is 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 22. 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 22. Our Faithful God. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to this text. This is the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 22. Our Faithful God. You ready? Here we go. Reading from the English Standard Version. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. 30 years ago, God brought my wife Desiree, me, and our 4 children at the time, the youngest of whom was not even 2 years old yet, to be trained here at Metro in a residency. I'm calling it a church planting residency. And if you're wondering what is a residency, think in terms of the business world, an apprenticeship, perhaps for a skilled trade. It involves on-the-job training. It involves some classroom instruction. It gives the person an opportunity to earn a wage while they're learning their trade or their craft. If you're a doctor, it might be a residency. And then, after having learned this skilled profession, in my case, it was how to pastor, what a church is like, how to plant a church. Then you're credentialed. In a lot of these residencies, you take an exam. You get your license. In our case, we were ordained. We were ordained in November 17th, 1996, with Phil Corson. And he was sent to Gainesville. I was sent to Miami. Metro provided that apprenticeship. Metro provided that residency. I don't think Metro's done yet doing those kinds of residencies. That was 29 years ago, 1996. January of 97, we planted Palm Vista Community Church in Miami, Florida. You sent 2 families. One, the Kelsos, had been here for many, many years. The other family was a young family, Marshall Stoy and his wife, Tammy. He had just graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary and came down with us. And there was also a young single man who came from one of our churches in Charlotte. Some 5 years after sending us, you sent another family, Corey and Cindy Smidgen, with their children. Corey as well had been on some on-the-job training. He came to Orlando originally to be part of crew in the world headquarters. And then God gave him a love for the local church here at Metro. And he did on-the-job training, and he did classroom training. And then 5 years after we were sent, they came down. And Corey and I have been laboring together as elders for the last 23 years. And then approximately 2 years after that, you sent someone else, an 18-year-old young man who had grown up in this church, David Bush, who chose to come to South Florida to attend Florida International University, though he could have gone to any great engineering school. His SAT scores were off the chart. He could have gone to the finest engineering schools in the state. Now look, right up front, I'm a Gator, all right? Oh, good. We have more Gators these days. All right, Charlie. We're working on it, right? University of Florida has a great engineering school. Or if he wanted to go out of the state, Georgia Tech there in Atlanta or Purdue. But God spoke to him, and I'm looking at you, 18, 19-year-olds, whether you're making decisions of where to go to university or perhaps you graduated, where to start your career. There was one factor that he took into account. It's not the only factor. It's like, God, where do you want to deploy me? What city, what church? And so he chose Florida International University, FIU, in Miami, to be part of Palm Vista Community Church. Today he's our lead pastor. Now that's not going to be the story for all of you. And actually, he had a great career going as an engineer. But God clearly called him. The point isn't what God calls us to do. The point is, are we alert to his call? Are we his? We're here at Metro. You're here at Metro in this apprenticeship, in this training. And God is sending. And he sent us out. And on February 2nd of this year, we celebrated the grand opening of our church facility that we recently purchased in Miami Gardens. And I believe there are photos of it displayed behind me. Danny and Melody came, and go slowly through the photos. Let me describe them a little bit. Danny and Melody came along with Tom and Debbie Walter. This building was a historic building in a historic community in Miami Gardens, not too far from where the Dolphins play, the Hard Rock Stadium, about a mile away, right on Miami Gardens Drive, a six-lane major thoroughfare. It was an existing structure, about 5 acres. And God provided it for us to be a lighthouse for the gospel, to proclaim the word of God. And I think the pictures you see of the signage at night. And then on that day, we had a wonderful service. We had a meal we put on for the community. We had volleyball games. We had bounce houses. It was a glorious, glorious time. Metro, this is the goal of our text. This is the goal of God's word to you. This is what we are all about, what we've experienced together. What 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 22 says, the big idea, the main point, what God is speaking to you this morning is this on the screen. Main point. God stands with us and strengthens us to proclaim his word together. God stands with us and strengthens us to proclaim his word together. And point one of our sermon this morning, we're going to look at how God stands with us and the implications of that, of therefore how we stand with one another. And then in point two, how God strengthens us to proclaim his word together. Point one, God stands with us. Point one, God stands with us. I invite you to look again at the first 9 verses of our text this morning. Paul is writing from prison at the end of his life in Rome to Timothy, who is pastoring the church in Ephesus. Think modern-day Turkey, Mediterranean, modern-day Turkey, modern-day Italy, Rome. He's writing from Rome to Timothy. He's at the end of his life. And listen to what he says to Timothy. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. And here is the main point of this text and of this message. Verse 17, but the Lord stood by me. But the Lord stood by me. The Lord stood with me. One of my favorite songs is Great is Thy Faithfulness. I love the Stephen Miller version. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Jesus, you're faithful. I love the bridge that he wrote. Jesus, you're faithful when all has gone wrong. Steadfast in mercy, though I wander off. You carry me, catch this, you carry me. God is with us. God stands with us. You carry me into and out of the storm. Great is your faithfulness, O God. God stands with us, church. God carries us into and out of the storm. What is the storm in this text? The storm are the difficulties of proclaiming the word of God. That'll be point two. The storms are the difficulties of having an apprenticeship and a church that is built to send, a church that is built to give, that isn't just hoarding people and building a greater and greater monument to itself, but with a church that is like a river that's flowing through people. The storms are when you go to Miami and plant a church. I lost track of most of you. Last night we were able to have a reception with Mike Nash and Mike Gillen and Chip and Holly and Danny and Mel and, of course, Chris and Stephanie were there. Met Jeremy and his wife. But I had lost track of this team. Phil and Kay are in Gainesville. Why? Because church planting is a storm. I once was told, you know, there's no system of how to plant a church. Church planting is like wrestling an alligator. You just want to survive. There are no moves, man. That's a storm. It's a storm that a lot of churches don't want to get into. No, thank you. No. God stands with us, carrying us into the storm. What was the storm for Paul? It was this storm that he endured that God carried him into to plant churches, to preach the gospel. He's in jail because he's preaching the gospel. But that storm includes things like desertion. Look again. Please display verse 9 on the screen. He's writing to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon." Verse 10, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me." In the midst of having an apprenticeship, a place where people can be trained for the gospel, there are going to be those that desert us and desert the Lord because they love the world. That hurts. That hurts. In addition to that, the storm included departures. Second half of verse 10. Crescens has gone to Galatia. He didn't desert Paul because he loved the world. He was sent by Paul. He departed because he was doing gospel work in Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. How many people has Metro sent on mission with the gospel, but there's a storm of missing them? It hurts. How many people have you planted out? Man, I'm aware of Atlanta and the Lawsons. I'm aware of the Pinos in Miami. I'm aware of the Corsons in Gainesville. I'm aware of the Brooks in Winter Garden. I'm aware of the Cooks in Athens. I'm aware of the Benny and Cherie Phillips in Lake Nona. And I'm sure there's others, but all of those carry with faces that are no longer here. Friends that you love. It's a storm. You grieve. You miss them. And then on top of that, the storm included great opposition. Great opposition. Look at verses 14 and 15. We're talking about the storms. God stands with us in the midst of the storms. What are the storms? The storms are the storms we experience because we are advancing, proclaiming the gospel. Look at this storm of opposition. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Alexander lived in Ephesus. He was a coppersmith who made idols. And because Paul was preaching the gospel that there are no idols, there's just one God, his name is Jesus. He was opposing Paul. If you look at verse 14, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Verse 15, beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. So there's the storms of opposition because of the message of Jesus Christ. And then look at this, verse 16. There's the storm of just feeling like you're standing alone. Metro, have there been days where you feel like you're standing alone? Paul felt that, verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May I not be charged against them. But, verse 17a, the Lord stood by me. I want you to hear that, Metro. You may be in this auditorium and maybe even feeling alone, looking around, there's people that aren't here that used to be here. The Lord stands by you, brother. And how could Paul be sure of that? Well, because Paul understood the Word of God. He was busy writing the New Testament, but he understood the Old Testament. He understood what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 31:6, and write this down. Study it later. Deuteronomy 31:6, God speaking to his people in the desert. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Metro, I don't care how you feel right now. He will not leave you or forsake you. He's here standing with you. Though Paul did not walk with Jesus when he was in his ministry on earth, he understood what Jesus said and had been recorded. And he remembered what Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 18. Jesus came to fulfill this promise that God will be with us always. John 14, 16 through 18. Jesus speaking, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." God stands with us, church. The Holy Spirit is here with us right now. "Even the Spirit of truth," verse 17, "whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Look at verse 18. "I will not leave you, Metro. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And then Paul, writing to the church in Rome, earlier in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, said the following: "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor debt, nor anything else in all creation," to include current political realities and wars and rumors of war, "will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." This was Paul's conviction, church. He declared it to us, church, that God is with us in the midst of the storms of desertions and departures and opposition. When we feel all alone, we're not. God is with us. And one of the implications of that is that we are gracious to those who do desert God and us, maybe even betray us, leave. Not only do they leave, but they leave casting some shadows and some shame and some shade. Because he knew that God was with him, Paul was able to be gracious. Look at verse 16. 2 Timothy 4:16. "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me, period. May it not be charged against them." Who does that sound like? Jesus on the cross, horribly suffering for us, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When we know that God is with us, we're able to be gracious to those that desert and even betray us. There's no betrayal that's quite as tough as the betrayal of your brother or sister that you labored with for years, and something went sideways. And I know, Metro, you've experienced that. Oh, but God is with you. May he give you the grace to say, along with Paul, "May it not be charged against them." Perhaps the biggest implication of the fact that God is with us and he stands with us is that we stand with one another. Don't you see it in this text? Over and over and over, we see the relationships. It starts with verse 9. Please display verse 9. Paul is saying to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon." See that relational? God stands with me. I stand with you. Come stand with me as well. Skip over to verse 11. "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." That is so beautiful. Mark would have been one who deserted Paul on the first missionary journey years earlier. Now, the gospel has so transformed Mark that he is so useful to Paul that Paul says, "Make sure you bring Mark with you, because he's useful to me in the ministry." This is this relational piece that's part of the DNA of Metro. It's what we learned in our apprenticeship and our on-the-job training, what we learned in hours together, what we learned in the Jones living room, what we learned on New Year's Eve when we hung out together, what we learned in our community groups, what we learned just in one-on-one at times together. It's this relational glue of the gospel. God stands with me. I'm going to stand with you. Come stand. Let's stand together. That is not common in the church today, sadly. Many churches have great shows, but the relational piece, it's lacking. Look at verse 13. "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. And then I like what it says in 21. Skip down to 21. Do your best to come before winter. Yeah, bring the cloak because it's cold. And then all these names. Don't you love these names? Some of you should name your children these. Eubulus. Pudens. Linus. Claudia. And all the brothers. Do you catch it? God stands with us. Therefore, we stand with one another. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Even back in Ephesus, he greets Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. You know, one of the things that David would tell you, there's five of us on the eldership. By God's grace, we've experienced this life of standing with one another. Doesn't mean we always agree. Doesn't mean we don't fight. Doesn't mean that we don't have conflicts that we need to resolve. But we're with each other. And David and I were just talking about the other day, all three of us were significantly affected by Metro in that. So Metro, congratulations for 40 years. God has used you to plant a church in Miami that has that DNA. It's a biblical DNA. But you're not done yet. This isn't just about the past. It's about the future. You ready? Roll your sleeves up. Let's get to work. Why? Because not only does God stand with us, but point two, God strengthens us to proclaim his word together. God strengthens us to proclaim his word together. It's not just about having a group of people that love to be with each other. That's very important. But it's now a group of people that are willing to go into the storm that God leads us into to proclaim the word boldly, courageously, sacrificially. Listen, these plants, this work is significant enough and important enough. It's a hill worth dying on. It's an endeavor worth failing at. Let's run at it by the grace of God. Verse 17 through 22 on the screen. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message is the gospel, might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. God led him into the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. God led him into places where evil deeds would be perpetrated against him for the sake of the gospel and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. These are folks in Ephesus. Erastus remained in Corinth. He's hanging out in Corinth preaching the gospel. Southern Greece. And I left Trophimus, who was ill, in Miletus, northern Greece. He's sick because of the gospel, but he's preaching it though he's sick. Do your best to come to me before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you. So do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. Listen, here we go. The Lord be with you. Grace be with you. The Lord is with us. It's the same thing. He's saying it again. Grace is with you. Grace is the Lord. Jesus is the grace of God who's come. He's just saying it over and over here. The Lord is with us. The grace is with us. But to do what? To proclaim the gospel. To run to the battle. To jump on the ship that's heading into the storm. Why? So that all the Gentiles, just think of it, as all the people that God has called us to reach, so that they would hear the gospel. So that in Miami Gardens, the gospel is being trumpeted. It's being declared. It's being demonstrated in a community that is crazy, with a bunch of crazy people, that say the only thing we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That culture is the predominant culture of this church without each person bringing the beautiful spices of their culture. But what holds us together is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Summarized by the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ to redeem his elect to the praise of his glory. And if you're a guest and don't know what the gospel is, please come to speak to me or to the men here that are pastoring at this church. This is the good news we come to share with you. The men and women who stood with Paul were strengthened to share the gospel of Christ fully in their world. Crescens, as we know, went to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Tychicus to Ephesus. Erastus was in Corinth. Trophimus was sick in Miletus. Metro has launched its Crescens and Titus's and Tychicus's and Erastus's and Trophimus's. As I mentioned earlier, the Lawsons to Atlanta, the Brits to St. Pete, the Corsons to Gainesville, the Pinos went to Miami. And when I say these names, think of all the people that went with them. God calls maybe one man to lead it. He's no better than the rest of them. It's just the call that God put on his life. But they all went as heroes of the faith, charging into storms, led there by the Lord God Almighty who is with them. Here's where they learned their craft. Here's where they got credentialed as master electricians and master plumbers or whatever you want to say, or physicians, or did their residency, whatever picture's in your head. Here's where they got trained. In those days, it's not just the past, it's the present, and it's the future. Because the gospel is marching forth. God has his hand on Metro Life Church. Metro, here's my conclusion for you. Verse 22, put it up on the screen. God is with us to go proclaim his word. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you, Metro. God's grace is with us, dear brothers and sisters, by his indwelling Holy Spirit, that we might know that our faithful God stands with us and strengthens us to proclaim his word. Are you up for it, Metro? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this faithful church for 40 years. Just imagine 40 years ago, maybe 30 some years ago, a group praying, Lord, you putting it on their heart to plant a church in Miami. A bunch of folks in Orlando, Miami, what do we know about Miami? And in your sovereignty, you brought men and women to this church, this to have their residency, their apprenticeship, their training ground. And Lord, by your good will and purpose and grace, you planted a church in Miami. And I just pray that all those that were there 40, 35 years ago, those that just came to church for the first time today, would say, God, this is your glory, but we can rejoice in it. We're part of the team. We can celebrate the touchdown. And there would be many more. This 40th anniversary year wouldn't just be a eulogy to the past, but a pathway to the future. I pray this in Jesus' name.